Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in. This is our 260th episode of the podcast, so I really do appreciate you listening. Don't forget, if you're interested in learning more about my 2020 workshops or free lectures or free classes that I'll be offering up at my studio up on Whidbey Island this year, you can check out danieljgregory.com and click on the Teaching and Workshops menu, and you can get a list of all of the classes that are up there, the dates and times and all that. We'd love to see you up here. I think we'd have a lot of fun. We'd get to hang out, make some cool photographs, and make some cool prints, or learn about Lightroom, or kind of whatever you're interested in. For this week's podcast, I wanted to talk about what an interesting lot photographers are, because we do a lot of odd things in our work. We do a lot of odd approaches to photography. We have a lot of weird discussions about photography, and we all go down different rabbit holes. And one of those rabbit holes is composition. And I hear people talk about composition a lot when they're doing critique and when they're examining photographs, when they're thinking about their own photographs, trying to decide what's good or bad. And I personally prefer the word framing than I do composition, but either way, both words are kind of used interchangeably. And the thing that I think is interesting is, one, I don't think necessarily everybody even knows what composition actually means. I think they know there's some things about composition, line, shape, form, space, texture, things like that, that make up composition. Composition doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the subject. The composition is how things are arranged within the photograph. So how are all the disparate elements within a frame pulled together to create the sense of the photograph? So composition is not subject. Composition can be used to help us understand the subject and help us contextualize the subject, but the subject is not composition. And at the same time, composition is not the subject. And I've heard that sometimes from photographers talk about, oh, this is a beautiful composition, but yet there's no subject in the photograph. There's no real meaning, purpose, intention behind the photograph. So while it has a visual characteristic that we might find pleasing from the organization of the lines, shapes, colors, textures, and the various elements that make up composition, the photograph itself lacks a subject. And it's very challenging to actually think about the long-term impact of a photograph that does not have a significant subject, that the photograph has something that it's about. And so if you're looking at a photograph and you can't figure out what the subject is, all of the elements of composition then are secondary and pretty much unnecessary, because without the subject, it doesn't matter how things are necessarily lined up or arranged within the photograph. It lacks the purpose for us to gravitate towards and hold on to. So while we might find the composition to be visually pleasing, the lack of a subject becomes a challenge for the average viewer. Now, it is possible to create work that is about intention of composition. So you could be looking at certain lines, shapes, forms, colors, negative space, positive space. But then the subject is actually the composition. So there is a line there where you could play kind of a sleight of hand with an art speak kind of game, where you're playing at the notion of composition being the subject, design being the subject. But design for just design's sake doesn't really survive, and it actually doesn't really hold up as something of value. Think about a chair being designed that you can't actually sit in. So while it might be visually pleasing, it doesn't serve any long-term function other than the aspect of creating it from a design aesthetic. As photographers, we want to create photographs that actually have meaning, impact, and last to the viewer over time. So it's something that will stick with them and resonate with them. So we want to try to make sure that as we work through composition and work through different aspects of creating the photograph, that we don't get caught up in focusing solely on composition or solely on subject. We need to find the balance between the two. And what's interesting about photographers, and why I say we're such an odd lot when it comes to talking about composition, is we have set up a set of rules for composition. We have a way of describing things, the rule of thirds, the use of leading lines, the use of positive and negative space. And one of the things that's interesting about photography and teaching photography and reading about how to become a better photographer, particularly on the big internet, is that there's all these rules that we're told that we need to learn. And that those rules are good, but yet we're supposed to break those rules and we're supposed to find our own identity. We learn how to create exceptions to those rules so that we are able to find our own voice and speak our own way within the photograph. And what's interesting about those compositional rules, and the reason I think we're, like I said, we're an odd lot, is we think there are certain things that govern whether those photographs are good until we find the exception. So compositions need to be framed a certain way. They need to have a certain aesthetic. They need to have a certain style, except when they don't. And when they don't and they work, then it's okay to break that rule. So in street photography, in terms of randomness of composition and clutter within the composition, Gary Winogrand would be an example of that. You look at Gary's work and you realize, wow, there is an odd randomness to this. There's this snapshotty, things are off angle, off kilter, the framing's off, things at the edge of the frame are off. All of those different elements aren't what we're supposed to do in photographs, but yet they somehow work. And so we have this weird notion of not necessarily understanding how composition truly behaves within the photograph. And we set up these predetermined guidelines without fully understanding what is actually behind the compositional guidelines, what's behind the reason a composition works. And in photography, I think it's a challenge. One reason I like the word framing is, as a painter, as an illustrator, as a drawer, as a sculptor, I have control over some of those elements that I don't with photography. If I'm actually just working from behind the camera, I'm having to see and actually create composition with existing items within the world. So I have to look at line, form, shape, positive space, negative space, texture, values, where the shading actually would occur, how color forms, all of those relationships I have to process in real time, make quick decisions, create the photograph, and assume that I'm going to get a pleasing composition from all of that. Without understanding how all of those things come into play, I end up being stuck in a rut. And in critique, I get stuck not necessarily understanding why photographs that seem to violate those compositional rules work. As we start to look at photographs, as we start to read photographs and process what is interesting about them, this is why subject becomes into play so much. A strong subject can be a element that allows us to stick with a photograph to start to understand its deeper complexity within composition. So as we look at different aspects of the photograph, how do we move forward and back? How is space, value, texture created within the photograph? By having a significant subject that we can relate to, it allows us to stick with the photograph longer. That longer reading of the photographs helps us have the time to process some of the complexity of some of these compositional elements that may not follow the rules. Because the rules that were created were about instant satisfaction is not quite the right word, but they're about the satisfaction chemically in the brain of how fast can it process and does it create a pleasing effect within the brain. So when we look at the rule of thirds, we look at things with symmetry, those create a pleasing effect. When we look at harmonious colors, that creates a pleasing effect. If you think about music and listening to harmonious music, creates a pleasing effect. But sometimes we want to create something that's not pleasing so that we actually create some tension, some angst, some kind of pulse that causes us to actually feel a certain way that's not necessarily harmonious, not necessarily happy. So we have to think about composition as an element to help us create the narrative around that subject matter. As that subject and subject matter hold, the narrative that comes from that composition becomes critical. So when we look at a photograph, we can say, well, while it doesn't necessarily fit the standard rules of composition, the composition itself does lead me to have this experience when I read the photograph. And it's in that step that I think a lot of us as photographers have a chance to really grow and develop and become better photographers. And become better photographers by learning to see and understand photographs better. When we look at our own photographs and we think about how did we get this photograph created? How do we create meaning behind this photograph? Well, part of that is what comes from experience. We've actually taken photographs before. We've learned what works and doesn't work within our own sensibility and aesthetic. Another one might be practice. We might go out and see something, a photograph that we like. There's a concept we have. We might want to practice certain things. So we go practice working with positive and negative space. We work with different elements of form, two-dimensional and three-dimensional. We might work with texture. We might actually go out and photograph specifically with the notion of understanding how texture plays within the photograph. We also might work by assimilation of other information. We look at other photographs. We read and consciously read more photographs. We understand how subtle elements within composition can come into our appreciation, understanding of the photograph. Not whether I like it or not, not whether I appreciate it or not, but our understanding of what is it about the way the composition is set up and formed allows me to experience a much more meaningful and insightful photograph. Composition is all about creating space. And I don't mean space as the element between positive and negative, but the experiential world of three dimensions within the photograph. One of the biggest challenges I think photographers have is we're creating a two-dimensional object of a three-dimensional world that's supposed to somehow relate back to three dimensions. So when we look into the photograph, we get this sense of depth. And even if we're working with a really shallow depth, we still want elements of dimensionality within the photograph. And so all of the things that come into creating composition also lead into editing, which is why I think understanding how composition works is not just about is there line, shape, color, and texture, but how do those elements pull together so that we can better understand the photograph? Because if you have the incorrect colors, an incorrect color cast, if the lines don't intersect at the right spot, that can create a problem within the photograph for how we would read and understand it. Leading lines is an interesting concept because to understand how leading lines work, we have to understand what a line does. A line connects two points in space, and it could connect that on a straight line, it could connect it on a curve or an arc, but it's connecting two different points. So as our eye moves from one spot in a photograph to another spot in a photograph along a line, it's moving from one point to another. Are we actually getting the eye to move to the correct point in the photograph? Or are we attempting to create multiple lines within the photograph so that the eye has to move in two or three dimensions within the photograph? But understanding that from one point to another, how do those connect? And are they connecting the right things is important to our understanding of the photograph. So as we start to think about composition and we look at line, shape, color, textures, forms, positive and negative space, how tones are used, all of those elements come together. And if we understand what their purpose is and how they relate or don't relate, we can start to build stronger compositions. Spending the time to actually think about how does each one of the core elements within the composition work or not work with the photograph allows us to then make stronger photographs going forward. Because remember, the challenge with photography is not that I can sit there and actually be in complete control of all of those lines. I have to respond and I can change point of view. I can change the lens. I could change the focal depth. I could change the depth of field. There's some things I can do to help manipulate some of that a little bit. But all of those elements are still contextualized by the world that's in front of me. So learning to see and process and think about how all of those elements come into play allows you to create stronger photographs. It also makes your editing process easier because if you've gone out and taken the time behind the camera to make sure that your compositional elements are set up in a way that you can now emphasize or de-emphasize certain aspects of those, you'll end up with an easier editing process. So the question of what to lighten, what to darken, how to shift hues and color values, how much of a line to accentuate or de-accentuate? Should you use clarity and texture to punch up elements of a photograph, or should you try and attempt to soften those? Those questions all become much easier when we've thought about how all those compositional elements came into play when we created the photograph. So as you think about composition within your photographs, as you think about the structure within your photographs, it's important to remember that a subject with no composition isn't a great photograph, and a composition with no subject is not a great photograph. That we need the elements of both of those to come together, and we need the composition to speak to the strength of that subject. And while you're not necessarily in control of all of those elements, you can be in control of significant elements within that framing. And with all of the advice you get about how to compose and what's important, remember that advice is only good until it's not. So sometimes we get good advice and we can follow that pattern over and over again, but then recognizing that there's times and moments and places where we can not necessarily break those rules, but elevate our understanding and sophisticated understanding of compositional tools to help us create mood, tension, feeling, and invoke something about a subject in a way we hadn't before, that's really the elevated game within photography. It's recognizing that there are certain things we can do compositionally to drive a behavior within the photograph, but at the same time, we have to recognize that sometimes the things we've been told aren't necessarily true because it's not our way of seeing. At the end of the day, you're responsible for your own composition, your own use of color, light, form, shading, values, all of those things. So as you start to harness who you really are as a photographer, you're going to find your ability to control those things and influence those things to make much more true-to-life photographs for who you are. So I hope you go ahead and this week spend some time thinking about your approach to composition, some of the elements of composition, and how that might influence you creating your photographs. And also as you critique photographs and look back at photographs, really think about composition more about how do we experience the photograph rather than whether or not it's got a rightness or a wrongness to it, but really how does it enhance our appreciation or decrease our appreciation of a photograph because of the way the elements of composition have been used, and identify what works and doesn't work so that you can take that knowledge and use it as an experience going forward in your own work. Have a great week behind the camera. Thanks so much for tuning into the episode. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can always find us up on any of the podcast platforms and give us a review or ranking up there. It helps other people find the podcast. So I appreciate you tuning in. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.